Okay, great. So as I said, so we're on Yud Bet Amud Aleph. We're now in the. We've sort of taken a jump off now from this final statement of Ullah in the name of Rabbi Lazar. We spent a couple of weeks sort of going through all those different statements that he made, and the most recent one was talking about Govin Min Ha'avadim, that you could claim, from. When you lend money, right, or when you're owed money, right, usually you can obviously claim from anything. The person could pay back from anything. We've said if afilu subin, even the grain or whatever way you're able to pay back, then that's how you would pay back. But then he made this statement that you could pay back with avadim that you might own as well. So then we had this whole discussion as to whether that was only talking about. In a very specific case, right, i.e. where you've set it aside as an apotiki, right, where you said that this was, in a sense, what you're going to be claiming from, or whether it was more extensive than that. We had this whole discussion with Rav Nachman, so that was all the sort of bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Bet, and then turning over to the top of Yud Bet Amud Aleph, we had this whole sort of back and forth between Ullah and Rav Nachman, where Ullah was saying, actually, no, he said, in all circumstances you can claim from avadim, and we were saying afilu miyasmi. That was the sort of the extent to which the Gemara Ullah was making this statement. He's saying even from the next generation, i.e. the person who owes the money passes away, you can even from the inheritors, you can even claim in that sense. So that's a very, very that's a very strong statement when it comes to the. To how we're sort of categorizing avadim in this particular instance, and Rav Nachman disagreed. Rav Nachman disagreed very strongly. In fact, he said we had this whole thing where we said there have been previous cases where that had happened in a bet din, and Rav Nachman said no, so they have to go back and give it all back, etc., and didn't count, doesn't work. And we sort of left off in the middle where Rav Nachman was basically backing up his opinion with a statement from a Mishnah, and we're going to sort of spend today basically trying to figure out, and it's, as I said, it's quite involved, but we're sort of trying to figure out as I said, the categorization of an evet, that broadly speaking, we have a difference between what we call metaltalin and karka, karka being land, and metaltalin being movable objects. That's the sort of very simple distinction, and now avadim is basically somewhere in the middle of that, and the question is, so some will say it's more extremely closer to karka, to land. Others will say it's sort of closer to objects, other things that you're selling or buying or owning or paying back with. And basically, we're sort of trying to bring different proofs as to where it's going to fall, which one it's closer to, and it will have subtle differences. So even at the most, even those who are sort of most extreme in comparing avadim to karka, and there are certainly gemaras that say that explicitly to land, there will be limitations on that because obviously it's not exactly the same thing. So that's basically where we left off. So I'm going to go from about seven or eight lines down, from Anna Masnisa Yadana, which I think we did, but we'll just sort of go from there just to get us back into the swing of where we were up to. So this is Rav Nachman now responding, because what we had said was basically Rav Nachman was very strongly opposed to using Avadim as... to pay back from the next generation, i.e. in the next generation, he was saying, you know, you can't, if the person passes away, this is not something you can claim from. You can claim from land, but you can't claim from avadim. But we showed that Ullah seemed to hold this way, right? That we had that actually there was the Bet Din in Nahar Dor, which was one of the big centers at the time, did this, right? We talked about Rav Chana bar Barzina, did this as well. So we seem to have a whole load of people who seem to be disagreeing with Rav Nachman. So what exactly was he basing himself on? Command Svirale, the Gemara had asked. Who exactly is he basing himself on? So Omar Leir of Nachman responds, Anamas Nisa Yadani. He said, I have a Mishnah that I'm basing myself on, Tani, as it's taught, Avimi, Pruzbul Chal al Hakarka Ve'ena Chal al Ha'avadim. So Pruzbul, we definitely did this last time, but just as a little recap, Pruzbul is a special sort of mechanism that was created at the time of Hillel, was created by Hillel, to when the to sort of basically enable loans to go past the Shemitah cancellation. So there is a cancellation at the end of the Shemitah year. According to most, that's when it happens. At the end of the Shemitah year, all loans are cancelled, or all simple loans, let's put it like that, all simple loans are cancelled. There are little exceptions, but broadly speaking, all basic loans are cancelled. And the problem that had arisen was that nobody was loaning anything, right? And therefore, the poor were sort of struggling to, in a sense, the idea of cancelling loans is there to help the poor, but they were struggling more because nobody was actually lending them any money because they were worried they wouldn't get it back. So Hillel created this concept of a prusbul where the loans would be, in a sense, seen as kegavu idomi. It's like almost as though they've been collected already. It sort of was transferred to Bet Din in that sense. And because they are effectively collected, so they don't get cancelled by the Shemitah, by Shemitah. And in that sense, people were happier to continue to loan as usual. And as I said, you know, everything, in that sense, it was positive for everybody. But a prusbul required, yes.
To actually transfer to the Sanhedrin.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, not to the Sanhedrin, but to the local Bet Din that did it. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So the payments had to be made.
Oh no, no, I don't think so. No, no, I think it was. I think that it was. It was. No, it was never made to the Bet Din. I don't think it was ever made to the Bet Din. It was made. It's made back to the person. Yeah, we'll have to find the text. They have prusbuls now as well, so we'll find the text, the modern text that you use now. Actually, it's interesting.
So the prusbul would have been a specific for that loan, rather than a general.
Ideally, it's specific for that loan. They do nowadays. People have more general ones because we're not quite as. Because a lot of loans you're not necessarily as we don't always. Pay as much attention, in a sense, to each of the individual loans. So I think that the ideal would be actually yes, that it would be specific. But certainly nowadays they do have more general ones. And I think actually even then, in a sense, you could have one that covers all of your loans. Whether you specify them within the contract is I don't know, but I think that's ideal. But you definitely can have one that covers many loans, in a sense. But it needs to have land to go with it, right? So we mentioned last time that one of the elements of a prusbul is that the borrower has to have land, which is an interesting thing in and of itself, because obviously many did not have land, and actually they would have to be given land in order for the prusbul to take effect. So it's chal al hakarka, literally means takes effect effectively through land ownership, right? Through this piece of land. So you have one small area, even if it's a small area of land. The small area of land is critical to prusbul. Why is it critical to prusbul? I think that there are different views of this, but I think very simply, it's basically because land effectively has it's again comes back to the same concept of. Loans that already have an element of having been collected or partially collected would not be cancelled. So, for instance, if you had a loan which had what's called a mashkon with it, right? If you lend me money and you take a collateral, right? As instead, so like a pawnbroker, right? Something like that. You loan money and I give you something instead. So because you have that object, that loan is not cancelled, right? That's something that wouldn't be cancelled through Shemitah because it's in a sense partially, or it seems like it's collected already. It's viewed as though it's been collected already because you've already got the collateral. Now, ideally, you'll take the money back and give the collateral back. That's true, but because you have the collateral already, so that's good. So the same, similarly with land. So if a person has a piece of land, so it's in a sense, it's almost like it's owned already. Now, doesn't that mean that if you take out a loan for, I don't know, for £5 million, then you have to have a piece of land that's worth £5 million? So the answer is no, for a couple of different reasons. But again, most simply, there's a concept of what we call ein ona'a lekarkos, which means that you can never overcharge for land. Any piece of land can ultimately, because it's... because land, location, and various other reasons as well. But land, in a sense, its value is not going to be limited, right? So in terms of the effectiveness of of prusable working, even on a small piece of land, because in theory you can have a, you know, a few meters squared, which are worth £5 million, depending on where they are, right? But you sort of you can have a small area of land which is worth an enormous amount of money, as we know. So because of that, so in a sense, the effectiveness of the prusable works. Now, obviously, if you're actually collecting from land, then you need to give land worth that value. But this is just in terms of the, as we said, just in terms of enabling this prusable contract to actually take hold. So what Avimi had said was that everybody agrees that it works with land. But he says, "V'einuchal al ha'avadim." You cannot do the same thing with avadim. So what do we see from here? We see that avadim are not similar to land in this sense, right? They don't carry that same categorization in halacha, because we see that a prusable does not work, that would not take effect through avadim. And again, just to drive the point home, metaltalin niknim im hakarka, that you can buy movable objects together with land, what we call a kinyan agav, which we'll explain in just a moment. Ve'ena niknim im havadim, and they do not, but you cannot buy them with, I think that's referring to kinyan agav. But you cannot buy them with ve'ena niknim iva. Yeah, okay, it is agav. Yeah, ve'ena niknim im havadim, but they are not acquired through avadim either. So what exactly does that mean? So kinyan agav is another important concept, which we'll just clarify for a couple of minutes. Kinyan agav basically means there are different ways to acquire something. It's a very interesting type of acquisition. Different ways to acquire something. The ideal way to acquire something is by doing something with the object or with the land that you're acquiring. So, for instance, if you work the land, right, then I mean, assuming that there is a, not just by working the land on its own, but assuming there's a sale and an agreement, etc., then working the land is one way in which you sort of, you effect that transaction, right? You sort of effect the sale with an object, right? You do something like lifting it up or pulling it towards you, taking it with you, right? All those sorts of things. Again, assuming there's buying, you know, assuming you actually buy it and the person agrees, etc. You can't just take it and then say, "I've acquired it," right? But that is, in a sense, what effects the transaction. What if I want to buy something from you, but you don't have it here, right? It's inaccessible to us. It's in another country, whatever. It's very difficult for us to get to. It's going to be a pain, but you're happy to sell it to me. So you can do what's called an ikinyan agav karka, which means that you sell me a piece of land, and through a small piece of land, right, very small piece of land, and in a sense, through that sale on the land, you can have objects included in that sale. So you can say, included in this sale of this area that I'm selling you, right, where I'm also including in that sale such and such, I don't know, my watch, which is abroad, right, wherever it is. That's called a kinyan agav. So that works with land, but doesn't work with anything else. You can't say, I'm selling you this, this watch, right? I'm selling you one watch here, and included in that sale is another watch in Australia, right? That doesn't work. And so similarly, we say over here, the same thing, metaltalin niknim im hakarka ve'ena niknim im ha'avadim. Again, it would not work with the sale of avadim similarly. So again, Avima seems to be very strongly of the opinion. That's what Rav Nachman is bringing this as his backup. He's saying that Avimi clearly is drawing a line between avadim and land, and saying that land has a couple of different quirks to it, a couple of different important elements to its acquisition, which do not apply to avadim, and therefore we see that there is that distinction, and that's why Rav Nachman, as we said, was basing himself on that, and similarly said that you cannot claim your loan, what you're owed from avadim, if the person is no longer alive, right? It just sort of cuts off at that. Only if they themselves are paying back, like they can pay back with anything, then you can claim from avadim. But otherwise, not. Okay, everybody with me so far?
Claiming from avadim means
taking the evad in as yours. Correct. Instead of the money.
How would they determine the monetary value of that?
I mean, that's with anything. It's always difficult to determine the monetary value of anything. But that's assessments like how would we do that now? How do you assess anything? How do you assess the value of this table or whatever? You figure out what it would go for. right, in a marketplace, like
some court decides.
Yeah, the courts have decided. Yeah. There's generally those are generally two different areas. I mean, they are important, but the Gemara doesn't spend a long time talking about assessing value, because that's something which is very dependent on time and place. So that's not something which is really, that's not halachic, that's not a halachic thing, determining value of an object, right? That's something which is, as you said, is dependent on time and place. The value of your watch or your evet, right? Assume, again, in the time when that's something that you would do, or your phone or your table or whatever it is, right? It's not something you can ever write into halacha, because that's, as we said, that's going to be sort of dependent on, like nowadays, the valuation would be expert valuation, you know, where and looking up where.
Just establishes the principle.
Right, exactly. Correct. And you can have disagreements. This is very much not our sugya today, but I know that the Gemara in... Good question, where is it? I can't remember. There's Gemaras elsewhere which talk about the difference between, let's say, where a later court basically overturns the judgment of a different court. They say, you know, what this court ruled was wrong. They made an error. So there is a very, very big difference between saying that they made an error in what's called Dvar Mishnah, which means in the fundamental halacha, right? To say that they made an error in the fundamental halacha is much more significant, but also easier to overturn, rather than saying that they made an error in what's called shikul hadas, which means like their assessment, right? So because assessment is something which is more difficult to sort of say, as I said, different people will assess slightly differently, so it's harder to overturn that in quite the same way. Okay, all right, but that's the. So as I said, so Avimi, as we said, is very clearly of that opinion. Rav Nachman's going to side with him. So the Gemara comes back and says, okay, so now we have this. So we clearly have a Mishnah that seems to side like Rav Nachman. We have others who disagree with him as well. Lema Ketanoi, he said, maybe we have that this same machlokas Tanoim going to be elsewhere, right? We have this in the following Braisa, or the following Mishnah. Yes. So as follows, the Mishnah says as follows: Mochar la'avodim v'karkaos. Let's say you sell them at the same time. You sell the avodim and the land at the same time. Then kona, sorry, hechzik ba'avodim lo kona karkaos. Let's say you did the, as we said, you have to do something active to effect this transaction. So let's say you did the action with the Eved, so Hechzik Ba'avadim, you did what's called a Chazakah, so you asked the Eved to do something on your behalf, or whatever it was, you used them in some way, in a way that you would use your servant, your Eved, then what would happen, then Lokona Karka, that doesn't work for the land, i.e. you have to do a separate Kinyan, a separate acquisition for the land itself. Lokonakarkos, bikarkos, lokona avodim, and so to the reverse. If you do an action, if you do some sort of chazaka, something to acquire the land, you again need to do a separate one on the avodim as well. Neither one transfers onto the other. However, umataltalin, karkos umataltalin. Let's say you're acquiring land and movable objects, right? Land and a watch or something like that. Then what happens? Then hechzik bekarka kona metaltalin. As soon as you do the acquisition on the land, as soon as you do something to acquire the land, then that automatically brings together with it the metaltalin. However, not in the reverse direction. But metaltalin lokona karka. Let's say you do something to acquire the movable objects, that doesn't automatically acquire the land. And what about the final case? So the final sort of combination, avodim and metaltalin. Let's say you're buying avodim and movable object at the same time. Then hechzik but avodim lo kona metaltalin. When you do the chazaka, when you acquire, you do the action to effect the acquisition on the avodim lo kona metaltalin. You do not acquire the movable object, but metaltalin lo kona avodim. Again, so same, so too in the reverse. So it seems from the end of this Mishnah that. That avodim do not have the similar status, are not the same as karka, not the same as land. Why? Because they don't affect the acquisition. Whereas with land, I can simply do something to the land, and automatically, if other things are included in that sale, I won't need to actually go out and acquire those specific objects. However, with avodim, that's not the case, according to this Mishnah. Vahatanya, But we've taught elsewhere, Hechzik va'avodim, kana metaltelin, right? We have a differing opinion. They just say, no, if you acquire the avodim, then you do automatically acquire the movable objects. My love, behokam, if the Gemara suggests that maybe this in and of itself is our very machloket, right? Our very debate that we've been discussing over here, whether avodim are the same as karka or not, right? Behokam, if the Marsovar, one opinion holds, this is halfway down the Omud, one opinion holds, Avodim kimakarkoi dummy, that Avodim have the same categorization as Karka, and therefore they could be used to acquire movable objects at the same time. Umar Sovar Avodim kimataltilin dummy, and the other opinion is, no, they're like movable objects, and therefore they do not help. You have to do each one on its own, and one, the acquisition of one does not help to acquire the other. Okay, so here we seem to have this debate. So Omer of Ika, this is a very Gemara way of trying to formulate these things. Basically, we try to suggest that this machloket that we see over here is a sort of part of a bigger issue. But the Gemara's response is no. He said you could re-explain it, right? You could view it in a specific way, where in a sense it's not quite as big of a debate as you're trying to make it. We like to sometimes we like to do things along party lines. We say this must be that you hold across the board that this is always going to be the case. So the Gemara responds and says, no, it's not necessarily across the board. So how is it not across the board? So that's Rav Ika's response. So now we have over here, Rav Ika Beredor of Ami says, it doesn't mean that across the board Avodim love Kakarkai, right? That they're not similar, that they're dissimilar to land. He says, why? You could even suggest, Dekulei Alma Avodim Kimakarkai Dami, that everybody agrees that that the acquisition of avodim is similar to the acquisition of land. V'hoda tanya, why doesn't it work then? Why doesn't it help to acquire movable objects then? V'hoda tanya kona shopir, right? Okay, so that half makes sense, that when it says you acquire the movable object together with the avodim, that half makes sense. V'hoda tanya lo kona, so how do you re-explain that half? Bo'inon karka dumya d'orim matsuros b'yehuda. He says that might be specific to this concept of a kinyan agav, right? We said before that the kinyan agav is this unusual acquisition where the object is far away and you can't get to it, and therefore you're using the karka to buy it on behalf. So there, in a sense, across the board, the response over here is that across the board, Avodim could still be categorized like land. But over here, we need land which is like a city, right? Dumya d'orim maturus b'yehuda, like the cities. And Rashi clarifies, actually, let's just read this Rashi, because he's sort of... So it's about 15 lines from the end of the Rashi's. The first word on the line is dumya. Yeah. Okay. So dumya d'orim matsuros d'mehai kra nafkalon. Rashi says, well, where does this phrase come from? The cities, the walled cities of Judah. He said that's the verse where we learn this this kinyan agav from. Right. Every acquisition in halacha has a source, has a biblical source, and this one comes from a pasuk in somewhere. Okay, I don't actually have the source over here. I want to say it's from Divrei Hayamim, but I can't actually remember. So, oh yeah, it is. Oh, there you go. Yes, I do have the source. Okay, yes, Divrei Hayamim chapter 2. Sorry, Divrei Hayamim base chapter 21. Okay, so there, basically, the verse says as follows: "Vayitain lahem avihem." We'll come back to the Rashi. Actually, let's finish the Rashi, and then I'll quote the pasuk. So he says, "Demihai kron nafgalon." This is derived from the verse which talks about Orin Matsuros b'Yehuda b'Maseches Kiddushin. The Talmudic source is in Maseches Kiddushin, where it sort of talks about all the different types of acquisitions. Dimataltalin niknin b'Chezkas Karka, that movable objects can be acquired with the strength of the land, right, or by effecting this acquisition on a piece of land. Dechsev, oh, here's the verse. Vayitain lohem avihem matonos im orei matsuros. So the verse actually says, Vayitain lohem avihem matonos rabos. He gave them all, their father gave them all sorts of things, lekesef ulazohov ulamigdonos, right? All sorts of things. Im orei matzuros biyehuda, together with this these fortified cities, right? And what the Gemara derived from there is that in a sense what he was doing was effecting the acquisition through this city. So through the cities that he was giving them, he was also in a sense including within that all sorts of kesef vazav, all sorts of other things as well, movable objects, and that worked. That worked as what we said as the Kinyan Agav. That's the source for a Kinyan Agav. So Hilkoch Ba'inan. So one could perhaps say that this is a unique area where Kinyan Agav, this specific type of acquisition, requires not just any old piece of land, but actually some sort of real city type land, really something very, very significant. The Lo Naidi Kihasam, right, which is in a sense never going to move and never going to. It's as I said, it has a much sort of stronger sense to it, and therefore, since an eved, right, even if we're going to generally say that an eved falls under the same category of karka, right, it's not really land, right? Although we might categorize it so, it's not land. It's right in no sort of physical sense is it like land. We can see that being very different, and therefore that's going to be the distinction that we're drawing over here, right? So therefore, basically, the at this point in the Gemara, we're effectively sort of siding quite strongly with Rav Nachman in a certain sense. We're basically saying that even this debate, which we thought that some would say that Avadim are like Karka and some would distinguish between the two, will say no, actually everyone, you know, you could re-explain all of these things to actually say that everybody agrees that Avadim carry the same status as land, the same categorization as land, and this specific case is different, and that's why, sorry, not like Rav Nachman, this is very much not like Rav Nachman, excuse me, this is the opposite to Rav Nachman. But anyway, okay, so that's where we're at the moment. The Lone Naidi. Ditanan. Okay, so what's we are going to go more deeply into this. So that was the verse, right? We saw in Rashi the verse, but now this is a quote directly from Kiddushin, right? From, as we said before, from the Talmudic source, from the Mishnah itself, which talks about a Kinyan Agav, this source for a Kinyan Agav. Nechosim sheyesh lahem achrayis. This is what the Mishnah says. Ditanan. Everybody with me back in the Gemara? Mm-hmm. Okay. 7 or 8 lines from the before the wide lines. Ditanan nechosim sheyesh lahem achrayis. Nechosim she'ein lahem achrayis, which is sort of code for metaltalin, right? Code for movable objects. Achrayis literally means responsibility on them, right? There's nothing sort of tying them to somebody else. Niknim im nechosim sheyesh lahem achrayis. They can be acquired together with nechosim sheyesh lahem achrayis, i.e. land, right? Land is referred to a lot of the times in the Mishnah as something which has on it a responsibility, because it's often linked to loans and linked to those sorts of things, right? And obviously, therefore, carries responsibility. It's not a great translation, but that's the essence of what it's trying to say. So as I said, nechosim she'ein lahem achrayis is basically a code for movable objects. Nechosim she'esh lahem achrayis, that have achrayis, is a code for land. Bekesef b'shtar uvchazaka. So you can acquire it with kesef, with money, with a shtar, with a contract, right, with a document, or b'chazaka. B'chazaka, we said before, is some sort of a chazaka. Basically means that you demonstrate something. It's basically something which indicates your ownership, right? It's not quite like money or a contract, right, or a document, but it is something which demonstrates your ownership, i.e. you're doing something on this land that only an owner would do, right? You're living there, for example. You're living there for a certain amount of time, then that might demonstrate your ownership in it, assuming, as we said before, assuming you have a sort of a reasonable claim, right, that you paid, etc., that you did buy it. And therefore... And what the Mishnah is saying is that you can acquire movable objects together with that land acquisition as well.
If the land is given as security, fully covers the loan, and then movable objects, your watch, whatever goes with it, does that thereby not become part of the debt?
No, so here we're not talking about loans anymore. Now we've moved away from the loans element to talk about acquisitions now. But we're just using that as comparison. So this mission is not talking about making a loan.
All right, and so it's the movable objects thrown in for free, effectively.
It's not about the price. It's really talking about the acquisition. The point is that in addition to the price, you need to actually you could be giving something for free. Let's say there's no price here. Let's say that's the source. The source is talking about a father giving over objects to a child. Right now, you're legally transferring ownership from one to another. Right, like nowadays that has to be done with documents, etc., etc. But let's say you don't do it with documents. Once upon a time, documents is one way to do it. Let's say you want to transfer halachically, you want to transfer ownership from you to your children. Right, 100% free. So you want to give them your watch collection. Right? But your watch collection is in Israel. Right, you don't have it here. So how do you do that? So you say, I'm giving you this piece of land. Right, and in a sense, you're going to acquire this piece of land. How are you going to acquire this piece of land? You're not doing it with a contract, for whatever reason. You decided not to do it with a contract. You're not doing it with money, because you're giving it to them for free. So you do it with a chazaka. They have to do something. They have to do something that demonstrates their ownership over that land. They can't do anything to demonstrate their ownership over the watches, because they're not here. So they do something to demonstrate ownership over their land, and that is enough to effect an acquisition on the movable objects as well.
Does that mean if the movable object is far away?
Yes.
And there's no land. You can't do it.
Correct. You'd have to do it in a different way. You'd have to do it with a contract. Yeah, or some other way to acquire it, I think. Yeah, exactly. I'm assuming you could do it. I'm trying to think. If you don't have the object there, I don't see why you wouldn't be able to acquire it with money or with some other way, because there are different types of acquisitions in halacha, but we seem to be talking about a very specific type of acquisition. Yeah, so there's a reason, obviously, why there's no money transferring, or there's no. I'm assuming that would be enough otherwise. Yeah. Correct. Yeah, it's not nearby. Not nearby. It's an unusual type of acquisition. But as we said, the source for it. So here, the Mishnah is laying out the source for this. So to Omar Kra. Minohan Nimili, right? From where do we? What is the source for this acquisition? Omar Chizkiah says the Omar Kra, as the verse says, as we just read it earlier. Vayitain lahem avihem matanos rabos lekesef ulazov ulamigdonos im orei mitzuros biyehuda. Right. So as we said before, he's giving them lots of things, right? Silver and gold, all sorts of stuff. Excuse me. But all of that is going together with Migdonos, together with the land, right? Together with the these Ore Metzuros Behuda, these fortified cities of Judah. It doesn't mean literally of Yehuda, it means of the area, right? Judea, maybe we should say, I don't know. Yehuda. Ikad Omri. Okay, so this is now the Rav Ikka, going back on Rav Ikka. We said Rav Ikka, in the name of Rav Ami, said everybody agreed that Avadim follow the same categorization as Karaka, but now we're going to really sort of flip that around. We're going to flip that around. So just to clarify, the Gemara set up this situation where we thought we had a machlokas tanoim, right? We thought that this point about whether avadim are like land or like movable objects was a debate between tanoim. Then we said, no, everybody agrees on one side of the coin, right? And you sort of reinterpret one side. And now we're going to flip it round. We're saying, no, everybody agrees with the other side. Everybody agrees that avodim are like metaltalin, are like movable objects. We're going to flip it round. We first said it was a debate, right? In a sense, one side was following one opinion, the other side was following the other opinion. Then we went through and we said, no, you can reinterpret so that everybody is sort of fundamentally of the opinion that avadim follow the categorization of land. And now we're going to flip that around. Ikad Omri, five lines before the wide line. Ikad Omri. Omer of Ikka, Beredor of Idi, De Kule Alma Avdi Kamataltalin, Dami. Now everybody, we're going to suggest that everybody agrees that avodim follow the same categorization as movable objects. Not like that. Everybody disagrees. Everybody is opposed to the opinion that that they are like land. Right? Now, I think... So let's So Rashi early, so Tosus earlier. Let's come back to that. Let's just focus on this. Tomorrow we'll throw this in afterwards. Okay, so everybody agrees that that they're like movable objects. V'hod Tanya lo kona, right? So why did we have this? We just said before that if they're like if they're like movable objects, then why are they not acquired together with land? Right? Why are they not acquired together with land? I.e., we had the Mishnah said earlier that if I buy land and I do an acquisition, effect an acquisition on the land, that doesn't automatically effect an acquisition on the avodim that are being made in the same acquisition. So why not? Right? If they are like movable objects, then that should work. So Hodatanya Lokona Shopir, right? Sorry. That makes sense according to the one who says Lokona, i.e. when you're selling or when you're buying avodim together with movable objects, right? The opinion that says Lokona, that they do not come together with the movable objects, are not acquired together with the acquisition on the avodim, that makes sense. Hodatanya Kona, but the opinion that says that they do, right, that works, that when I'm acquiring avodim, that movable object can go together with that acquisition. Why? How does that work if they are dissimilar to land, right? We said only land can affect that sort of acquisition. So we said Ba'odon Olov. We're not talking about anything. We're talking about while the Eved is wearing them, right? Or has them with him, carrying them, right? Let's say he's wearing the watch, he's wearing the clothes, or he's carrying whatever it might be, right? While he has it with him, on him, literally, Ba'odon Olov, then that's enough to make the acquisition. So Gemara responds, V'chi odon alov, my have. Okay, very nice. He's wearing them or something like that. Why should that make a difference, right? Still, it said, still that's very different to acquiring through land. Chotzer mahaleches he. He said that this is a movable land. There is a concept of what's called a chotzer mahaleches, right? Obviously land itself doesn't move. But you can have things which have the status of land, right? Or the categorization of land and yet move. Avodim is one example of that. There are other areas in which you have things which sort of carry the status of something like a building, yeah? Which is not necessarily a... land, but you can have other areas where you have a concept of what's called an ohel, right? Where you have literally means a structure, right? Something which there are many halachas which require you to have an ohel. What about if it's a moving ohel? So what do you mean a moving ohel? Tents don't move. The answer is yes, they can do, right? You can have a shelter which moves, right? Like a car or something like that. A plane, right, would be an ohel zarek. So again, we have a similar sort of idea over here where you can have a concept of not literally the land is moving, but it's what's called a chotzer mahaleches, right? It's in a sense the same. It's being categorized like a field, right? But it's moving, so then that sort of, it falls away. It doesn't actually work. And Rashi clarifies, "Ein kona leba'alim klum," right? If it's delav chotzerhi b'mahaleches, while it's moving, it loses its status, right? While it's because this ever can, you know, can move. So that's in a sense losing. That's fundamental to land is the fact that it's staying there, right? It's the fact that it's always going to be there. It's not moving anywhere. So the fact that you're moving this, the fact that this Eved can move, that doesn't work. So, v'chotzer ma'aleches lo koni. Right? Lo kona. A movable field would not acquire anything. V'chi tema ba'omed, if you want to suggest that we're talking about a case where, okay, so stand, you know, ask him to stand still for a minute, right? And while he's standing still, then that's enough. So no, v'ha'ma rava kol she'ilu mahalich lo kona, omed v'yoshev lo kona. So that's not enough, right? When you're still considered to be a moving thing, even while you are happen to be still, right? In a sense, you don't lose that status of being, because he could move at any moment, right? It's like... It's not just about sort of getting it in that second. It means that you have to sort of fundamentally change the status. So the Gemara goes further and says, maybe you can do. So maybe you can change the status more fundamentally. V'hilchaso b'kofus, right? Let's say you tie them down, right? If you tie the avadim, in a sense, sort of prevent them from moving in that sort of sense, then maybe that would be enough. Maybe that would be enough. V'hotanya hechzik b'karka kana avadim. But now we have the problem is we have the reverse, right? We said that if they're tied down, then why exactly does it work? Why exactly does it work when we have a different case, i.e. you're acquiring the land and the Eved is coming along with that land, right? The Eved, the acquisition of the Eved is happening together with that. So there we say second wide line down. Hosam ba'omdin besocha. That's where he's in the field itself. So there, when you're in the field itself, that's different. Michlal dehai lo kono kasha'ein omdin besocha. Right, makes it sound like when it's not acquiring, i.e. the acquisition is not happening through this ever. Then it's not talking about when he's not standing in that field. So honi cholahach lishna. The Omer of Ikka Bereidurav, the Bereidur of Ami, Avde Kimetaltali Dami, right, says, okay, that makes sense if the language we're using is the one from earlier, i.e. Avodim are similar to Metaltalin, Dami, the Hainu, the E Omdin Besocha, in E Lo, right, i.e. if they find themselves in the field, then the acquisition works. If they're not in the field, then the acquisition doesn't work. Ela lahach lishna de omar avde kim karkoi dami, right? Once we flip that around and we say we're talking within the world of avodim being similar to karka, to land, lomali omdim besocha, right? Why do we have to say that they have to be stood inside of it? Lomali omdim besocha, right? Ha omar Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Mocher lo eser sodos be'eser medinas." They shouldn't need to be standing within it. In a sense, the acquisition should work regardless of where they are, right? Even if they're not actually in the field itself. Similar to other land acquisitions, if you're selling 10 fields in one go, right? 10 fields in one, or 10 properties, let's say 10 properties in one acquisition. You only need, as long as it's one acquisition together, then you only need to have one. You only need to do one act of living, right? You don't need to do it in 10 different places. You only need to do it on one of them, right? Shehechzik ba'achas mehen. Given shehechzik ba'achas mehen kona kulon. Since you do the acquisition on one of them, then you acquire all of them together. This is very. I'm conscious of time, but I also want to. We're quite involved, so let's see if we can get to the two dots, and then maybe we'll summarize and sort of pause for questions and try and let it sink in. I know we've moved far, but it's good to. I just want to make sure we try and hold the thread. Ula taimech, right? According to this reasoning, again following, the Gemara is sort of really going back and forth between just trying to cover all the bases, trying to sort of clarify each side as it goes through. So ula taimech, right? Following this same line of reasoning, lahach lishna. The Omar Avdi Kimetaltalin Domi. So again, coming back to the opinion that Avodim are similar to movable objects, Lomali Omid Besocha, right? Why do you need to be standing there at all? Hakaimalon Delo Bo'inon Tziburin, right? They don't need to be in it, right? In the sense that then that whole concept of having them in the field is again unnecessary. Elamai is Lachala Meimar. So therefore we abandon that whole thing. Right, that we abandon that whole thing. Shiny metaltali, ma'is lachana meimar. Shiny metaltali, that movable objects are different. Denaidi mimetaltali delo naidi. That the objects which move are different to objects which don't move. Right, So hochanami shiny mekarkoi denaidi mimekarkoi de lo naidi. There's a difference again between land that moves and land that doesn't move. What does it mean, land that doesn't move? Sorry, what does it mean, land that moves? So again, we're talking about avodim in this case, right? Avodim being similar to land in this, in a certain sense, but moving, right? Avdi de mekarko, avdo mekarko de naidihu, right? Avodim would be considered to be land that moves, and therefore, the naidihu hosom sadna de ara chad hu, right? Sadna de ara chad hu. In a sense, the body of the land, right, is going to be one. It's going to be one unit. And therefore, it's enough to make the acquisition on one piece of land, right? As we said before, one piece of land, and therefore it's going to work. However, with an Eved, as we said before, because it's moving, because he is moving, because they can move, so that doesn't work. And therefore, although everybody agrees that Avodim ki karkoi domi, right, similar to land, then still there is this fundamental difference that the Eved is movable, right, can move, whereas regular land does not. So lots of different versions, in a sense, over here, right? I think what I found difficult about this Gemara, I still find difficult about this Gemara, worth going through it again, is the fact that you're sort of holding, you're trying to hold the different threads in your head. But fundamentally, what we seem to have over here is a big debate as to, everyone agrees, in a sense, that land is on one end of the extreme, and movable objects can be on the other end of the extreme. And Eved, where exactly Eved falls over there was... This is the other challenge. It's debated on the Tana'itic level, and then within that, or potentially debated on the Tana'itic level. That's what the Gemara was trying to figure out. Where are we categorizing each opinion? And then beyond that, Rav Nachman, right, going right back to Rav Nachman, was the next step down. That's the Amoraim, right? That's now we're talking about Babylonian sages, right? Later generations. So that's in a sense sort of basing itself on the earlier opinions, but within that, within different, you have to be siding with one of the earlier opinions or not, but sort of adding often your own little elements to it. Well, we're not going to have time for this today, but interestingly, the Tosfos earlier on Yud Bet Amud Aleph clarifies that even at its most extreme, however you want to follow it, there are going to be certain halachas which nobody can disagree with, right? For instance, he quotes onoa, right, is one example, or a shavua that taking an oath, or onoa is basically overcharging, right? There's a concept that onoa ain onoa la karkas. Usually, if I overcharge you for something, if I charge you an enormous amount, exorbitant amount for a car, for a phone, whatever it might be, then the sale is void, right, in halacha. If I charge you, let's say, double the price, right, of what it should be, then the sale is void in halacha, doesn't count. You have to return the money, it doesn't work. But there's no such concept when it comes to land. Why not with land? One of the reasons given is because land, in a sense, is worth what you pay for it, right? It doesn't matter. So avodim, again, similar. Let's follow a similar thing. I think that Eino not a la avodim. Again, similarly, and so Tosfos again goes through that actually you have to basically take each one case by case, right? Effectively, you're taking case by case. We've gone through very specifically with regards to acquisitions. Before that, we were talking about claiming back, basically, right? Collecting debts and loans and things like that. So that was the other area, and effectively those are highly debated. But other areas, everybody's going to agree on, and it's sort of basically a little bit case by case, and you've got to figure out each one as you take it. I think well, let's put it like this. In terms of practical things to take from these Gemaras, I don't think that Avodim is not something we obviously take a lot, we do nowadays, and therefore doesn't carry with it. But what we did come across, I think, in these Gemaras, very interestingly, I think, which is going to be helpful to sort of to take with us for future, is the importance of the difference between karka and land and movable objects, but also the concept of a kinyan agav is going to be something which is again important to bear in mind, right? The concept that when you, in a sense, acquire land, you can acquire other things together with that land. Whereas objects, that's not true, right? Whereas objects, again, that's not going to be the case. And I'm sure other little things that we sort of come across here as well, which are going to be important moving forward.
Even today, the stories you hear of people buying a farm,
right?
A farm, finding 20 vintage cars,
right?
I mean, that becomes the ownership of the person who bought people.
Does that work? I wonder. Does that work? That works in. Oh, that's interesting. So in Jewish law, I'm not 100% sure if that's true. So there's a whole discussion.
If you buy hidden treasure or something. So the owner didn't know was there when he sold it. That was certainly.
But is that only in land or is that with other things as well?
Other things as well.
Right. So that wouldn't be true in halacha. So that because
if I sell you a gold sovereign for £300 and you find out it's the rarest one possible, it's worth a million.
No, I'll tell you a great one. This happened with a rabbi in New York where he bought a desk and he found an envelope in the back of the desk with $80,000 in cash or some ludicrous amount of money. And he gave it back to the lady, and she said it was like her life savings. She didn't know where she couldn't remember where she'd put it. You know, it was like, yeah, and she'd forgotten it.